Our scripture lesson for this morning is the story of the visit of the wise men in chapter 2 of Matthew's gospel. So now listen with me for the word of God. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is my shepherd, who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. And then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage." So when they had heard the king, they set out. And there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So let's see, if Jesus was born in the wee hours of Thursday morning, it's now Sunday, the star rose in the east about 3 days ago, and so the wise men, observing the sky, saw that something amazing and wonderful had happened in the land of Israel, and they said, "We need to go find out what this is." And so the wise people, and probably their attendants and servants, packed their bags, put their clothes in their suitcases, loaded up their camels, and took off on this journey, probably coming from maybe what we would now call Iraq, hundreds of miles from the Holy Land. And so this journey took several days, perhaps several weeks. 40 miles is a long day's ride on a camel or on a donkey. And so here, as we speak right now, back more than 2,000 years ago, the Magi were traveling. They had seen this some kind of astronomical phenomenon which drew their attention and motivated them, which invited them to make this journey, because they expected to find, when they arrived at their destination, some kind of wonderful, sacred, life-changing experience. This trip that they were on was a very special kind of trip. We would call it a pilgrimage. For a pilgrimage is a journey which goes to a holy place, or a journey which has the purpose of experiencing something transcendent, something sacred and life-changing. Not every trip that we hear about in the New Testament stories of Jesus' birth is a pilgrimage. That trip from Nazareth to Bethlehem that Mary and Joseph made, that was simply a, obeying a decree by Caesar Augustus. 7 days after the baby was born, they took the baby to Jerusalem to have the purification rites, which were part of being good Jews. That was a trip which was an obligation. They had to do it. So there were all these trips which just didn't have much meaning but had a purpose. But when the shepherds walked from their fields where they were watching their sheep to that stable in Bethlehem, that was an unexpected, unplanned pilgrimage. Because they had been invited by the angels to say, go and see, what you find there will change your life. And so they went. And these magi, these people whom we call wise, they left their homes for weeks on end, perhaps, traveling to the west to this unknown country, because they believed that making that journey would be an experience of wonder, would be something unforgettable. A pilgrimage, making these kinds of trips, is an important part of other faiths as well as Christianity. Making that trip to Mecca is one of the five pillars of Islam. Every faithful Muslim hopes that at some point in their life they can go on that trip to experience that moment in the homeland of their faith. And some other non-Protestant traditions in Christianity offer pilgrimage as an important way to be a disciple of Jesus. Some of you may have heard that people who are sick in Europe, they make a trip to Lourdes in France. There they hope to find healing of their disease. One of the most famous pilgrimages in Europe is people walking almost all the way across the country of Spain that they might worship in a church where it is believed the bones of St. James are buried. But pilgrimage is not a strong part of our Protestant tradition. Our spiritual forefathers, I think, to be plain about it, were suspicious of everything that had Roman Catholic tradition which wasn't found directly in the Bible. And so they got rid of many, many things because it didn't have that kind of scriptural foundation that they were looking for, and said, we as Protestants are not going to do that. So Calvin and Luther and their friends devalued and prohibited all kinds of things just because they were Catholic. And in modern times, with a more balanced understanding, we Protestants have rediscovered a lot of those things, those traditions, some of them really quite ancient, that have value. And pilgrimage is among those. And so it seemed to me that today, as we remember the Magi on their pilgrimage, foot by foot, step by step, mile after mile, traveling to see the Christ child, it'd be useful for us to talk about pilgrimage as an option for us. We are all beginning to plan for 2015. What are we going to do this next year? I want to propose that among all the plans you make for the year ahead, you might plan for yourself a pilgrimage, a journey, to go someplace where you will find something wondrous and amazing and life-changing. So what kind of a pilgrimage would work for us Protestants if we're not going to travel to a shrine to get healed? For that, we go to the doctor's office or maybe the hospital. Or if we don't find particular appeal in the bones of a dead saint, what would lead us to pack our bags and make a journey for the purpose of enriching our spiritual lives? Well, a pilgrimage can be a journey to a place of particular significance for you. I never will forget the first time that I went to Niagara Falls. We parked our car, I think, a few blocks away from the viewing place, and I could see this plume of mist rising in the sky in front of me as I walked toward the falls. And as I got closer, I began to hear this sound. It was a thunderous, roaring sound. I wasn't quite sure how that sound was made. And then, as I approached even closer to the viewing place, I began to feel in my feet this vibration. The entire earth was being shaken by the water cascading over the falls. And then I walked up to the viewing platform and saw Niagara Falls for the first time. I don't think it's unfair or overdramatic to say that I was filled with awe at this sign of the wonder and glory and power of the creation in which we are gifted to live. This experience stayed with me. I've been to Niagara Falls since then again, and it continues to thrill me every time I see it. Not quite as much as the first time, because that's the way we are. But that was a pilgrimage to a place where I saw God's glory, God's power revealed by the natural world. And people have told me that they've had the same experience when they walked up to the edge of the Grand Canyon, or when they walked through the redwoods of California, or when they explored the Everglades of Florida. People who went farther afield saw this glory and power of God revealed in the rainforests of Costa Rica, in the African savanna with elephants and giraffes in the wild. Such a journey might be a way for you to rediscover or discover something new about the glory of God's creation. A pilgrimage can also focus on a person who's of particular importance to you. Abraham Lincoln, of all the presidents of our country, is probably the one whom I have most revered since I was a child. I like the fact that Abraham Lincoln was tall. Yes, I did. But there is so much more to what he did in his life. He led our country through a time of bitter civil war and preserved by his leadership the integrity, the oneness of our nation. But even more so, I admired him deeply for having brought to an end the awful economic tradition of slavery. And so when I go to Washington and walk around all the sites and monuments and amazing things in our nation's capital, the place where I'm more likely to spend time sort of trying to absorb and experience what it means is Lincoln Memorial, with this large statue of Abraham Lincoln seated on a chair and with the words of some of his speeches carved in stone around him. It's a place that has importance for me. Likewise, when we lived in Springfield, I visited Lincoln's tomb, Lincoln's home, the Capitol, the old state Capitol building where Lincoln served as a legislator, and the Lincoln Museum, if you have not seen it, in my opinion, is worth the drive. So a pilgrimage can be a place where you get in touch with someone who raises your own spirits as to what a human being can be about, provides an example of the kind of person you want to be, and draws you more fully into following the life that you should follow. I suppose there are lots of other places which could serve as the destination in this kind of pilgrimage, the home or the library of any president that you particularly honor. The church where Martin Luther King preached might be a place to go. The workshop of Thomas Edison, the home of Mark Twain. Whatever kind of person would make you feel like life was more important and valuable and good would be worth going to that place where you'd have that experience. A pilgrimage experience can also come from a completely unexpected surprise. I never will forget the day that Ann and I were being tourists in Edinburgh. We had planned the trip there sort of with a pilgrimage feel to it because we were both pretty excited about seeing St. Giles Cathedral. Now, St. Giles Cathedral in Edinburgh is for us sort of what the Vatican is for Roman Catholics. John Knox, one of the founders of our Presbyterian way of being Christian, preached from the pulpit of St. Giles Church. And so I had thought for a long time, it'd really be cool to see this place and experience the home base, sort of Presbyterianism. And so we walked into this century-old cathedral and walked around through the aisles. And I saw the pulpit where John Knox stood with its sort of peculiar carvings. We don't have any peculiar carvings here. I'm sort of glad of that. It was interesting, but nothing really touched me about it. It was a big old church. And it was clear that a preacher had to have a big voice to be heard all the way to the end with no microphone. So then we walked down the main street of Edinburgh to John Knox's home. I thought, okay, maybe I would gain some fuller understanding of this patriarch and forefather of my church by walking through the rooms of the house where he lived. Well, altogether, the impression I got from reading all the speeches which had been framed and put on the walls of all the rooms of this house, the impression I got was John Knox was a very caustic, politically power-hungry man. I found what he wrote quite hard to take, and I left thinking that if John Knox were alive today, the pastor of one of the other churches in Chicago Presbytery, I probably wouldn't think he was good company. Not exactly the pilgrimage experience I'd hoped for. So then we continued walking our walking tour of Edinburgh and came, as we went down the main street, to Canongate Church, a much smaller parish church, a sanctuary probably half the size of ours. We went in the door and we were greeted by a very friendly a member of the parish who was interested that Anne and I were both Presbyterian clergy. And so we walked around and looked at everything, and it was nice. And then I stepped into a little side chapel, a room that was just larger than a closet. And on its walls, I saw plaques listing the names of the soldiers from that congregation who had died serving in the British military. There were too many to count. Hundreds of names on that wall. I felt overwhelming sorrow for that congregation and the losses that they had experienced decade after decade. It was overwhelming. And that was my surprising, sort of unforgettable pilgrimage moment on that trip to Edinburgh. When we were simply walking around being tourists and happened in the door of this ordinary church. People have talked about that same kind of pilgrimage experience when they visit Arlington National Cemetery in Washington, or a battlefield like Gettysburg, where they see and understand that kind of sorrow. And lastly, a pilgrimage can be a place where you really go there with the full intention and purpose of finding something sacred, something holy, something transcendent. A year ago last summer, Anne and I visited the island of Iona in Scotland. Iona is just a little island on the southwest coast of Scotland. Nothing particularly special about it as a Scottish island, but it has been a place of pilgrimage for centuries. After St. Columba came from Ireland with a little group of followers and brought Christianity to the people of Scotland. Not too long ago, the church which they had built, which had fallen to ruin, was rebuilt. And a community there was formed of people who wanted a place and a focus for their Christian life. And since then, that community has welcomed pilgrims from all over the world to come there and find the the something profoundly special that does exist on this island. It's hard to describe. But there were about 30 to 40 of us pilgrims staying in this dormitory facility that had been built for us. We worshiped twice a day with the Iona community, singing songs which they have written, hearing the scripture read in that ancient church. And it was a profound experience in ways that I cannot fully describe. I want to go back, more so than going to see other Scottish islands, as much fun as that would be. There is something there which Celtic Christians labeled as a thin place. And it was significant. It was profound. It was important to me. And I stay in touch with that Iona experience by reading books. I just got one for Christmas from one of the members of my family, a new book of Iona prayers. And I intend to spend time with that book to reconnect me with the experience that I gained by traveling all those miles to Iona. So you see, a pilgrimage can be a variety of things. It can be a trip that is intentionally planned with the purpose of going to a sacred spot to worship, to sing hymns and hear scripture. It can be a place of particular personal significance. It can be about a person that lifts your spirits about humanity and about life. It can put you in touch with something sacred, which grounds you more fully in who you are and whose you are. That's the kind of pilgrimage that you could plan for 2015. I hope that you'll do that. But I hope that you'll also be open to those surprising pilgrimage moments which you didn't know were going to happen, where you simply are visiting a family and you walk in the door of their church and find something there that touches your soul deeply. Don't have to go lots of miles to go on a pilgrimage. I think St. Mary of the Lake, right over in Mundelein, is really quite a wonderful place. I thought we should organize a pilgrimage there sometime, just to go and experience what St. Mary of the Lake Seminary is about. I hope that 2015 you will have a journey which becomes an unforgettable moment, which gives you some new understanding, some new commitment, which changes you deeply in the way that you live out your Christian faith. And when that happens, in some way, you'll be doing what those shepherds did when they hastened from their fields to see that baby born lying in a manger. Your travel, your journey will be like that of the wise men, the Magi, who went hundreds of miles, days of traveling, to pay homage to the newborn king whose life was announced by a wondrous star in the sky. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.